Well, one of a very ancient group of songs that the church has been singing for a long, long time, the O Antiphons. Now, that might not sound familiar to you, but if you've ever heard that old hymn, O Come, Emmanuel, you've heard the O Antiphons, or some of them, in a more modern form. We owe that hymn to these ancient, more ancient hymns, the O Antiphons. They all begin O, and then they speak of Christ in purely Old Testament terms. Wisdom, root of Jesse, key of David, desire of nations, Emmanuel. We're going to be talking for this half hour with Pastor Will Whedon about the first of the O Antiphons, part of a series with him on the O Antiphons. In the next half hour, Pastor Bill Swirla will join us. Santa Claus theology. I think a lot of Christians have a Santa Claus theology. In fact, a God who looks more like Santa Claus than the true God of Holy Scripture. It's a God who sees you when you're sleeping, knows when you're awake, knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. He's there to basically reward the good and punish the evil. He's a purely quid pro quo God. And the thing that Christians may fear the most is that list that he keeps, checking it twice, and the balance between the naughty and nice. It's really a God that doesn't need Jesus Christ or a Savior. So we'll talk about Santa Claus theology with Pastor Bill Swirla in about 25 minutes here on Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Will Whedon is pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. He joins us to discuss the O Antiphons of Advent. O Wisdom begins our conversation. Will, welcome back.
Thank you, Ty. What a joy to be with you today and talk about these great antiphons.
Okay, first of all, let's do a little introduction on the O Antiphons. How old are they? Where do they come from? What are they doing? Why have they survived? Are they even relevant for the church today?
First of all, to answer the question, where do they come from? The answer is nobody knows. I mean, they are so old that the tracing down of the origin of the antiphons has never successfully been done. They've been around a long, long, long time. There was a medieval tradition that they actually were written by St. Gregory the Great, who is the author of a lot of the church's hymnody and music. And Dr. Peepern says there's no reason that we should necessarily doubt that, but we don't have, you know, hard and fast evidence that they actually come from him. But maybe for our hearers, we should first of all explain what an antiphon is, because that's certainly an unusual word.
We don't use that in everyday
use. Yeah, it's not around all the time. An antiphon is a little verse, statement, if you will, and it usually comes before, in the church's liturgy, it comes before a psalm or before a canticle, a hymn of praise from Scripture. And it highlights what the feast of, or the day that we're celebrating is all about. It will pick up one little theme and sort of center the psalm or the canticle on that. The particular ones we're looking at today, the great O Antiphons, they come from the service of Vespers, the church's service at the end of the day, the close of the day. And they frame Mary's hymn of praise from Luke chapter 1, her Magnificat, that begins, you know, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." So a hymn that's intimately tied to the incarnation of our Lord Jesus itself, these antiphons sit on either side of it, right before it and right after it, and they focus the song right on the Lord Jesus. What's amazing about them is how they literally walk through time. Are they relevant? The answer to that question is Jesus Christ relevant? He's more than relevant. He is the hope and Savior of the world. If I could, I'd like to read a little introduction to the antiphons that Dr. Peepcorn wrote when he was a professor at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis many, many moons ago. Can I share that?
Yes.
All righty. He says, "The paraphrases of Holy Scripture, known as the great O Antiphons of Advent, have been cherished for centuries by Christian worshipers as most expressive of the church's desire for the Savior. They are the sublimest expression of that Advent spirit." Advent, the season of waiting for the Lord's coming to us in both his second coming and also his coming to us in the means of grace, and they're celebrating his historical coming in Bethlehem. In the church's liturgy, one of them is chanted by the choir at Vespers each day from December 17th to the 23rd inclusive, before and after the canticle Magnificat, the hymn of Mary. Each one consists of a title given to Christ in the Old Testament in a petition, asking him to come and fulfill some scriptural promise or prophecy. They also are the basis of one of our greatest Advent hymns, as you pointed out earlier, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. There's a beautiful logic to these antiphons, beginning in the remote vastness of the eternal wisdom, continuing through Moses and the law, remembering David and his promised descendant who would rule Israel gloriously, touching on the Babylonian captivity and the insight of the later prophets, that the Messiah was to be more than an earthly king, declaring that he would be king and savior for all people, and finally proclaiming him as Emmanuel, the God who is with us. They proceed on an ascending scale of excitement to usher in the joy of the Feast of the Nativity.
So on this day, the 17th, we are starting this ascent or this ramping up of the proclamation and the promise and the fulfillment and walk, as you said, just walking through the actual history from before history.
Salvation history from the beginning of time, before the beginning of time, all the way through to its fulfillment when that child began to breathe and to live here on the earth, the child who truly is the God who is with us.
You said in reading Arthur Carl Peepcorn's introduction to the O Antiphons that this is an Advent thing. This is about that season of anxious expectation and waiting. Is it safe to say that the O Antiphons, as we're going to study them, are really the church's historic way of observing Advent, that short season?
Sure, it's the way that the Advent has, if you will, Advent tilts toward the coming of, I mean, it shifts from the second coming of Christ to the historic coming of Christ in Bethlehem, and the Advent O Antiphons mark the speeding up, if you will, towards the historical coming. That becomes the focus at the end of Advent, and they are what helps that focus to take place. Can I add one more thing historically about them?
Yeah, please do.
There are different numbers of how many there are, but most of the collections we have these seven antiphons, and that's what we'll be doing in this series. And what's really cool, behind each of the O's, there follows another word in Latin. And if you take the next word in Latin and you spell it backwards— in other words, the E on the 23rd for Emmanuel, and you just keep on working your way back. It says Ero Cras, which is Latin for I'll be here tomorrow, which is just really, really cool. It's one of the wondrous coincidences of the antiphons, or I don't even know if we can call it a coincidence. I think it was probably intentional. The wisdom and pattern that works its way through the antiphon really increases and anticipates the faithful's excitement and joy at the birth of the Savior.
We have just about a minute and a half before we take our first break. The first of the O antiphons, O Wisdom, read it for us, and a brief reflection on this. We'll talk about it in a little more detail after the break.
Sure. O Wisdom, proceeding from the mouth of the Most High, pervading and permeating the whole creation, mightily ordering all things. Come and teach us the way of prudence. The Lord Jesus himself is the wisdom which is behind this world. People are always looking for what is the meaning of life? What is, you know, what's this all about, this crazy, you know, venture we call life? Jesus is the key. He is the wisdom that holds all things together, the logic behind the world. And this antiphon begs him to come and teach us to live in that wisdom, to live in him, to find our life in him and in his prudent way. Prudence is wisdom practically applied. And we're praying here that the wisdom that is eternal and vast in God would find a very practical application in the way that we live our lives as pilgrims waiting for his return.
Pastor Will Wheaton is here in the studio with us on this Wednesday, December the 17th. We're talking about the O Antiphons of Advent, these great and ancient hymns by which the church marks the approach of Christ's return in time, the approach of Christ coming to us here through the means of grace, the approach of our celebration of his birth in Bethlehem. O Wisdom is the antiphon for this half hour's reflection. In about 15 minutes, we'll be talking about Santa Claus theology. Pastor Bill Swirla will be our guest. You can join us, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE. And our in-studio email address on this Wednesday, the 17th of December, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. When we come back, more on O Wisdom with Pastor Will Wheaton. Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's December the 17th. This is the date upon which the church, in its historic observance of the season of Advent, begins the countdown, so to speak, through the singing and the observation of these great O antiphons, these little hymns of Advent called the O antiphons, because each one of them begins with an O and then names Christ according to his Old Testament titles, beginning with O Wisdom. Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest here in the studio, pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. The temptation here, Will, is to think of wisdom as an attribute of God in an abstract sense, as though this is just a kind of a characteristic that God possesses. I imagine that there's far more to this calling of Christ wisdom than that.
Yeah, in fact, hearkening right back to Proverbs 8, where wisdom is not an attribute but a person. Wisdom is a person that reveals himself as the very logic and the fabric of the universe. We said it begins with the Old Testament, and it does. But Proverbs 8 is the background for the O Wisdom title, but also from one of the apocryphal books of the Old Testament collection, the Book of Wisdom, curiously, chapter 7, verse 24. Wisdom is more mobile than an emotion. Because of her pureness, she pervades and penetrates all things. You know, you hear the language of the antiphon right there. So wisdom as this a person that is eternally with God, and that is the very logic behind which all thing, you know, behind the entire universe as it is. We see this really come to expression in John's gospel at the beginning. He reaches back to these unthinkable, you know, to time before time was, if you will, before the ages began. And there we hear, you know, in the beginning was the Word. Word in Greek, logos, is the same word from which we get logic, you know, if you will. In the beginning was the Logos, and the Logos was with God, and the Logos was God, a person who is with God and who is God, the eternal Son himself. And all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So everything in the entire universe exists by the will of the person of the eternal Son, Jesus Christ, who is the wisdom of God in flesh. And therefore, because he is wisdom in person, we can say that all wisdom is in him. St. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says, he is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom and our righteousness and our sanctification and redemption. And later in Colossians 2, he hammers it home and says, he prays that they would reach the riches of full assurance of understanding and of the knowledge of God's mystery. And what is God's mystery? It's Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And I think this is so important in this day and age, because there is a real tendency to try to separate out our faith into its little compartment, whereby it never touches anything else in this world, in this life. And the assumption is that the faith itself is not logical, if we can put it that way. It doesn't belong to the wisdom of this age. And it's true that it transcends the wisdom of this age. But if you want to find out what life is all about, the answer is in the man Jesus. He is the one who makes sense of everything. You'll never find your purpose in life, what God created you for, what you're here for, what is the meaning of suffering in your life, what is the meaning of joy in your life. You'll never get any of it until you get that Jesus is the wisdom of God in flesh for you.
Okay, I'm intrigued by two things in this antiphon. One is wisdom I think it reads, that proceeds from the mouth of the Most High.
Yeah, which is just another name for the Word, right? I mean, the Word comes out of the mouth.
And I think of two things. I think about, in the beginning, God created the heavens, the earth. God said,
right.
That kicks off the creation. But I also think about Jesus in the wilderness with Satan, where he pulls out of the Old Testament this line, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And I'm thinking to myself, I know he is talking about the Word of God. We would say the external Word, that is Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't help but think in terms of this antiphon that Christ is also referring to himself.
Well, because I mean the unity of the two together is, I mean, think of this. As the Spirit gave forth the Word to be incarnate of the pure Virgin, so the Spirit gives forth the words of Scripture, inspire. I mean, there's a real connection between the inspiration of the sacred Scripture and the incarnation of the Son. And the point is they both deliver to us the incarnate Son, Jesus. The point of the inscriptured Word is to deliver to us the infleshed Word. Scripture's just not there to give us information. Scripture is there to deliver to us an encounter with this person who is the wisdom of God in flesh.
The other thing that intrigues me here is this, you've said it here, that wisdom is depicted in the Old Testament as, in essence, the divine framework for the entire universe.
Everything.
The mind of God, who can conceive of not only things that we can see and observe, but things we cannot see.
Mm-hmm.
The whole of creation. And I think about a passage where Paul will say that in him all things hold together.
Yeah.
He upholds all creation by his word of power, speaking of Christ. And we seldom think of Christ in this sustaining role that he has for all of us.
Yeah, I mean, everything has to hold together in him. Without his will, nothing holds together. And the antiphon is really radical in confessing that this word, incarnate word of God, mightily orders all things. That is such a word of comfort to the people of God when they are going through dark times. I always think about, Joseph in the Old Testament and what he went through. We just did this in catechesis this morning at our school. And, you know, can you imagine when you're sitting there in that dark cell after you've been falsely accused, betrayed by your brothers? You know, I mean, it's like where were the promises of God? Is there really any pattern? Joseph never lost his faith that it was the pattern of, you know, that God himself was ordering all things. And when he finally reveals himself to his brothers, he lets them know. He says, you intended evil for me, but God intended it for good. He was the, you know, you didn't send me here. God sent me here. So he is able to see the mighty ordering hand of God behind all of the circumstances of his life. And boy, that is the first step to the key to obtaining wisdom for us, is to recognize that the hand of God is governing all of the circumstances of our life, that nothing comes to us that does not come to us from the hand of wisdom, born, crucified, and risen.
Let's hear this first of the O antiphons, O wisdom, one more time, and now I'll get your final thoughts. First of the O antiphons, O wisdom. Will, your final thoughts with about a minute here on this one.
Why are you here? What's the purpose and meaning of your life? What sort of life is really life and not just vanity? These all find their answers in him alone, in the Lord Jesus. As it says at the end of Psalm 111, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding of all they that keep his commandments, his praise endures forever.
Tomorrow we'll be discussing the second of the O antiphons, O Adonai, O Lord. What will we be talking about tomorrow, about 15 seconds?
We'll be talking about how there is a complete identity between the Lord Jesus and the God whom Moses meets upon the mountain of Sinai.
Folks, find out more about the O Antiphons of Advent under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. When we come back, Santa Claus Theology with Pastor Bill Swirla. Pastor Will Whedon is pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
St. Paul writes to the Corinthians, "The word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has God not made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God that through the foolishness of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews, and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Do you want to see the mind of God? Do you want to see how he has ordered all things rightly from beginning to end? Do you want to know what God is thinking? Look at the cross. Everything you need to know about God's mind is right there. His love for you in the shed blood of his son, Jesus Christ. When we come back, Santa Claus Theology with Pastor Bill Swirla.
Grace, faith, scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues, Etc.